So how many slogans have you heard using the word joy? Can you think of one? How about give joy, get joy? That's Kohl's. There's also unleash the joy and share the joy. Ready Whip is responsible for those. And then there's joy will take you further. Can't say much more about that one, but I will tell you that the initials of the man responsible are JW, and the words single, malt, and scotch are his infamy. What I'm talking about there is joy marketing, okay? Joy marketing is actually a thing that they teach now. I didn't know this. It is a feel-good marketing tactic that is tapping into what has become a feel-good world. If it makes you feel good, then do it, or say it, or possess it. Disregard the consequences, the long-term effects, and the negative connotations that may hurt you or someone else down the road. It's crazy. Marketers have figured it out. Creditors have jumped on board. And we are now a society of have now instead of a society of obtain when. Kids even know how to get what they want when they want it. And so do they really truly understand what joy is? Maybe or maybe not. And that's not the only place that we find joy. Joy, about 350 years ago, it emerged into our names. And it was brought to us by the Puritans, alongside the names like Gloria and Grace and Faith and Hope and all the other ones that fit into that category. Some contemporaries that you may or may not be aware of. I promise I turned it on. There it goes. Oh, it started over. Okay. Okay, there we go. Joy Behar from The View. And it disappeared. I'm going backwards. Ah, there we go. Joy Philbin, longtime spouse to TV personality Regis. And Joy Duggar, child number 9 of a family too big to be able to even remember all their names. There's another joy that I want to introduce to you, my personal favorite. Take a look. Now that's some serious joy. It's not my kind of joy, and it's not something that I think is very easy to attain, but it's possible. But I can't do it on my own. If I asked you how many of you could say that this is a normal experience of joy for you, would you be able to say yes? Maybe if you were on the hyperactive side. Maybe if you never had a bad day. Maybe if nothing ever made you mad, and maybe if everyone liked you, and maybe, well, I think you get my point. The kind of joy that our world really needs supersedes any joy that can come out of a marketing campaign, and it certainly cannot be quantified by a movie character. The way I see it, joy is not just positive thinking. It's not just a half-full philosophy. Joy has to come from God. And so what we are going to look at are some scriptures where joy is God-given, Jesus witnessing, and Holy Spirit guiding. So what does it take to truly welcome joy into our being? How are we to emulate joy as a person of God? And what do we do when we're having a hard time tapping into it? because it's true. We all have a hard time tapping into it sometimes. Our scriptures today were a myriad of moments in both Jewish and Christian history that give direction and guidance on how to be filled with godly joy and not social joy. So let's take a closer look. First, joy should come out of us as an expression of our love and passion for living as a child of God. Reference number one, Psalm 47, verse 1. Clap your hands, all you peoples, and shout to God with loud songs of joy. Not shout to God with loud songs of anger and loud songs of, you know, frustration. I mean, it's possible, but that's not where joy is. Joy is when we shout to God with happiness, excitement, and zeal. It's our chance to let God and everyone around us know how wonderful it is to be alive, filled with the love of Jesus Christ, and surrounded by the grace of God's forgiveness. Christian joy is also a state of mind. This is the one that I think is kind of hard to hang on to. James reminds us in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, to see our difficulties in a joyful way. Joy is gratitude. It is the ability to not be angry, the determination to not be held back. If we had the time, we could take probably an entire Sunday and make this a sermon all on its own, but we don't, so we're not gonna. But it's true. It's really hard to take our difficult moments and remember that joy is underneath them. Keeping joy as our state of mind and our attitude of our heart, it can be hard, but James assures us that out of this state of mind, we will build endurance and will be better prepared next time an obstacle comes our way. Joy is a way of encountering. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 7 says, "Go, eat your bread with enjoyment, your wine with a merry heart, for God has long ago approved what you do." Go, eat your bread with enjoyment. Encounter your mealtime. Be with those around you. Savor the food that you are eating. And if that meal has to be alone, or like me, most of the time in your car, encounter God in that meal. Turn your radio down. Spend time in prayer. And as you come forward for communion, remember that that is joy too. The first letter of Peter tells us how joy is an outward sign of our faith. 1 Peter 1, verses 8 and 9. "Although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you can believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy." We are reassured that joy is there. It's a measure of our faith. It's the mark of a Christian. Social justice. Oh, wait, first we have active relationship. Oops. Paul tells the Romans that it is empirical to make joy and its opposite, sadness, an element of our relationships. When you are sad, or when others around you are sad, weep with them. But when they are happy, be joyful with them. Don't be angry at them. Don't be jealous of them. Don't be, what's the word I want? I said jealous. Don't be jealous. Don't be envious. Rejoice with them and weep with them. Social justice and an intent for equality and peace on earth can even be measured by joy. Proverbs 12:20 says, "Deceit is in the mind of those who plan evil, but those who counsel peace, they have joy." And lastly, my favorite gospel, because it's so poetic. John tells us that joy is a promise of what will come. John 16, verse 22. So now you have grief or pain, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. If you have the joy of God in your heart, that can't be taken away, even in your deepest sorrow. It's always there. Joy is underneath. All you got to do is tap into it. This is joy, my friends. It is a state of mind. It is peace. It is relationship. It is promise. Now, knowing that joy is more than just an emotion, it is easy to look at others and wonder when you're not feeling great, wonder why they have joy and you don't, or why you're finding it hard to tap into. And there's secrets for that. They're all in the scripture. All you need to do is turn to it and read it. However, I want to give you a couple of tactics here to get through your days when that joy is hard to find. When that happens, it's okay. Remember that, first of all. First thing that you can do, whether it's grief or sadness or frustration or anger, journal about it. Write a letter to your loved one. If that helps you focus your mind and bring clarity, take a minute to do that. One of my favorite things to do is light a candle. I have a candle at home that I set on my little bookshelf, and I use it to light in memory of my dad. And even though my dad was a very simple man, I have it all bedazzled out, I have it all blinged up, and it just brings me joy to sit and light that candle and think of him. And the other thing that you can do is keep space or an empty chair. Take 10 minutes every once in a while and go to that space. Be with your loved one that you're missing, or be in a moment with God. Again, focus and clarity. Being able to recognize when joy is being clouded by that grief is important, but there are times when our life is so full of busyness that joy isn't anywhere to be found. And so I'm going to go back to it. The most important thing you can do, read your Bible. Grab your Bible, let yourself lament for a minute, and then find some good, juicy scripture to cheer you up. Make sure you are a part of a support system that is ethically in line with you. That system will hold you up. That system will love on you and support you and bring you joy when you need it. Tidbit, Oasis groups here at Life Journey, it's a great way to get that connection that you need. And of course, be at service on Sunday. I admitted at the first service, so I'll admit it to you guys too, I'm not the best at making it to church every Sunday. But I'm also very aware of how my week goes and how I feel when I've made an effort to be here. My point, friends, is that joy, the kind of joy that comes from God, can't be found in Kohl's cash. It can't be found in whipped cream. And it certainly can't be found in a bottle of whiskey. It's in Scripture. And now we just have to focus on navigating through that scripture so that we can see how it has a direct impact on our days. So what I want to know is, how will you respond the next time you see joy, the kind that might have been in that video, the next time you see joy coming your way, will you embrace it? More importantly, what will you do when sadness gets in the way? Will you reach for joy, and will you call on joy's name? Joy to the world, my friends. The Lord is coming. Sing your song of joy.